in London, assisting them with communications. She then moved to Vancouver for service, followed by Turkey, Bahrain, and currently she is busy in Kuwait, Middle East. She writes weekly articles, plus has a blog called It's Time. So let's give her a big hand. Yeah? Hearty welcome, Sister Aruna. Sorry for the delay, because no. We had more yoga, no? Good. So we'll listen to beautiful experiences by Sister Aruna, and today's topic is experiencing newness in Brahmin life. So you already started with that. So you experience newness. If somebody is late, even then, how to have the experience of newness? It has already started. So now let's hear Aruna Ben. Okay? Bigger hand. Big hand, please. Louder.
No, it's okay.
Louder, yeah. Louder. Yes, thank you.
And actually, Happy New Year. So, I know you're not accustomed to it because this is a Hindu calendar. But I think for us Brahmins, any excuse, right, to have a celebration and a new year and a new beginning, a new start. So, yeah, Happy New Year. In fact, I think all the festivals become an excuse for us to initiate something new in our life. And actually during the yoga it was sweet because I was remembering, the first time I met Baba was here. Abhyak Bap Dada was here, and really my mom was just sitting like second or third row and I was in her lap. I was young, but I was aware. And in those days this used to be full. This was the only big hall at that time. There was no Om Shanti Bhavan or anything. So yes, why newness? Because actually I thought it's New Year, New Year's Day. And I think for Brahmins it's always good, isn't it, from time to time to revisit this subject. Because as Brahmins, and especially if you've been on this path many decades, you can get very much into the routine of things. And you can wake up at 4 o'clock and you wake up and you sit there, but nothing really is exciting anymore, you know? Or you get showered and you come to class and again you're sitting there like this, but nothing's really registering anymore. And again you have traffic control, but again it's just to, you know, in a regimental way you just have to stop, and Baba says stop, so okay, stop. But again, I'm not really, you know, using my mind or controlling my thoughts. So really, it can become very, as I said, regimental, like a military where you just obey Baba. So you get points for obeying, but there's very little progress, you know, that's taking place. And because there's not the newness, there's not the happiness. Don't you think newness is synonymous with happiness? You know, every time you get a new shawl, a new haircut, new glasses, you know, or even eat new delicacy, somebody from Thailand brings something, or new mushrooms or whatever. I mean, you feel happy, or you feel a joy, elated. You know, you feel the vibration of your being has changed, it shifted, and in a more positive direction. And I think as individuals, as humans, I think our need for newness is very natural. In fact, if you really think of it on a psychological level, then every moment is actually a new moment. Because we are growing physically, and now we are growing spiritually, and of course emotionally. But think about it, every moment is a new moment. Right now, in another 10 minutes, it will be a new moment. But I make it old because of my patterns, my old patterns. And I make it old because of the way I've always thought, or I've always been, or I've always done. So first of all, let me focus a bit on the old, and then we'll shift to the new. Again, I feel like as people, humans, we have a tendency to hold on to the old, like like antiques. And we treasure, right, our past. And we treasure it even if it's painful. It's like we feel we have to hold on to it because that's what we know. And it's comfortable. So sometimes we hold on to past hurts and pains and memories, experiences, which we do not need. We could have dropped them along the way somewhere, but we insist on carrying that burden with ourselves. And then because of that, what happens? What happens when your burden gets bigger and bigger? It gets heavier, yeah. And so that heaviness is what doesn't allow you to stay light, doesn't allow you to stay happy. And that's why sometimes we question, you know, we say that, why is this happening to me, you know? Like I haven't done anything, but why is this happening to me?
Sorry, ye log thoda dheere bole. Dono. Just if you can just keep it. or just slightly, like if you just keep your voice down slightly.
No, just slightly. I mean, don't. Okay. Sorry. Because I don't want it to. Yeah. So where was I? The heaviness, yeah, the burden, and doesn't help us to stay light, yeah? So, yeah, that's the other thing, that when you have an attic full of old, there's no space for new, is there? And what are you doing when you have an attic full of old? Is you're comparing everything new to the old. For example, even here, driving, I've been seeing this scooter parked, you know, and it's a really old scooter, but I'm sure they're using it still, you know, like in India they use everything to the fullest, so it's old but it's still active. In the same way, we compare like the new to the old, don't we? So what I'm saying is, in our attic, in the attic of our mind, we have a lot of old experiences, and we're always then comparing the new with the old, and that is not right. Because new means new. New means it has its own right. It should have its own space. It should have its own merit. You cannot compare the new with the old. Like you go to a place, a beautiful place, I don't know, Hawaii, Vancouver, Melbourne, I don't know, Sydney, whatever. You go to these places and then you compare them to somewhere else that you thought was nice. And it's not fair to do that. Or you meet a nice person somewhere and then you compare them with another person and you think, well, they're not as nice as that one. But they're still nice. Do you see? So this is how we actually stop ourselves from experiencing the newness of the moment. Because we bring our old experiences to the present. In fact, I'd like you to just stop now for literally like 10, 15 seconds. And just experience this moment. Just be present in this moment. Forget the past. Forget the future. Just try and be in this moment. Okay, come back. So tell me, what was the thought in your mind as you were experiencing this moment? Any thought? Being in soul consciousness, yes. Anything else? Baba, I'm yours now. Okay. I'm with you now, right? Yeah, good. Any other thoughts? They can speak in their language if you want, then you can translate. I mean, don't feel blocked by the language. Yeah?
It was so beautiful to appreciate this moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, as she said, Geeta Ben, I mean, I also feel that really to experience this moment, I have to be in soul consciousness. Because it's only through real appreciation of I, the being. In other words, I'm being in this moment. I'm not doing, or I'm not something as a result of something else. It's not a reaction to a cause. But I just am. Do you see? So when, if we are to experience this moment, I have to be in the now. I have to be in this moment. And I have to experience I am. Or not because of I am, you see? So really, this is what I feel we need to be doing in our traffic controls, is not make the effort of, you know, cutting and stopping, and because we make, I mean, by the time the minute's over, we've made all the effort to stop all the other thoughts, haven't we? To stop ourselves from distraction, to stop trying to put our attention to this one making some noise, or this one eating in this way, or whatever. I mean, we make all that effort to stop, and by then the traffic control is over, and we haven't really experienced that pure moment. So that's one thing I would say, is really, even if it's not the actual time for traffic control, take moments. You know, again, when Baba says, you know, that remember me for 8 hours, I mean, we think of the figure eight and we just immediately say no. But 8 hours is made up of moments and minutes and hours. And it's the experience that we want. I think what keeps us in Gyan is this constant experience of this newness that really, as Brahmins, whether Baba coming to Madhuban, Brahmin family, I mean, all this brings us newness. If you look at the Lokik world, and I know my Lokik family, my, you know, relatives, they always have to go somewhere to do something to find newness. And here we are sitting at home, maybe doing the same thing. The other thing I often comment about, you know, to our class there, is how these Madhuban residents, they've been doing the same routine for the last 30, 40 years. You know, this brother in the milk department, every day just pouring that milk, you know. And does he think, like, does he have this thought, well, I want to be somewhere else, I want to be doing something else, I want to go, you know, have another place, experience? No. And I think this is what happens. See, the newness is not in the action. The newness is here. And just talking to somebody in another country this morning, she also was telling me the same thing, because she went somewhere for 3 weeks. So she's telling me, Aruna, I came here for a break, I came here for some change, but I realized I need to get myself a new mind. Because she still carried all her old thoughts, you know, her patterns of getting stressed and getting aggravated and, you know, agitated. And so she said, I wish I could pack them away somewhere and leave those somewhere. So really our need for newness is really a need to change the self. This is what I feel. And if we are not experiencing that in Brahmin life, then that's when we get bored or dull. And many people leave, because then they do say, oh, it's just routine. But imagine if every day you feel a difference in yourself. The way you adapt to things, control things, be happy, are able to give that little extra love, you know, have that little extra power. I mean, every time you feel that little extra something, it means you have changed. You are changing and you're getting better for it. In fact, even like we talk about this term metamorphosis, don't we? Turning from the caterpillar to the butterfly. I mean, everything has to take its time. And this is another aspect of newness, is newness might not happen overnight. You don't just click and there's, you know, because again, this is our feeling sometimes, that newness should happen like this. We think just as, you know, 1st of January comes, like that's newness. But sometimes newness, you know, takes its time, like even a baby in the womb, it takes time. So there's two sides to this coin, where sometimes, yes, I can with one thought change something and make a shift, a paradigm shift. And the other is where with a little bit of effort every day, it's like watering that seed every day, then there will be a new garden or something new that's emerging. And this is also what I appreciate in Brahmin life, is that we are helping Baba to create that new world. I mean, in a way, God can do it himself. He's actually fooling us, you know. He is. I mean, he could just raise a wand and he could change the world. But he wants us to develop that sanskar of learning how to change and to transform things. Change ourselves, change our life, change matter. And this is how we then become masters, and then this is how we become eligible to be in the golden age. Otherwise, how will again that be decided, that who will go into the new age? It's only those who have mastered newness, actually, how to bring newness, how to become new once again. So, yeah, let's talk about then the different ways of, you know, bringing that newness. So, of course, we all know that we have to create new vision, right? New thoughts, new vision. So vision in what aspect? I was thinking that it's so true that once we become Babas, once we realize we're a soul, the other one is a soul, then really our vision towards that person changes. Which means that I don't see them as being Lokik anymore or limited in their skills anymore. It's like I go beyond that to see the soul and the qualities of the soul. In fact, today's Murali was so lovely. I took so many points because I actually told Baba today at Amrit Vela. I said, okay, Baba, tell me what you'd like me to do for this new year, and I'll wait for your message in the Murali. And there were so many. It was a whole list. I wish I didn't ask him. But there was a whole list, right? Be royal, be sweet, don't do this, don't do that. No arrogance. He also said don't give wrong advice and turn somebody's intellect. What else did he say? Speak sweetly, don't laugh too loudly. Be mature and sensible. And there were a couple of other things as well. Be royal, royal personality. And he was so cute, he said, you children have not seen royal people. And if we'd read that in the West, you know, where there are royal families, like the Westerners would say, we don't want to see them. Because today they don't live up to that royalty. I mean, the things that they get up to, you know, there's so much bad press about them. But in the olden days, of course, in Baba's days, royalty was still in its peak. And, you know, they had royal manners and... So yeah, all these things, you see. So I feel Baba's given us our homework for the year. And again, this is another thing I was discussing with this sister, that, you know, every day if I feel that I've implemented something from the Murali, then again I will feel good, my conscience will feel good, my heart will feel good, and I feel that I'm doing something purposeful in my life. But if I'm hearing the Murali and it goes in through here and out here, and nothing stops and stays and, you know, comes into action, then yes, I will feel it's a waste of my time, and I'll still feel I'm the old me. So in the process of becoming new, it's not like I said earlier that Baba raises a wand and we just become new. We have to make that effort. And so every day in the Murali there is something for me, really. And that, I'm not speaking this like a parrot. This is really my experience. There is something. In fact, a few times what happened in Kuwait is we have a lot of contact souls. And then I, you know, say to them, okay, come, it's your birthday, we'll celebrate tomorrow. You know, come for breakfast. You know, because normally they're busy. So I said, okay, come for Murali and breakfast, or come at 8 o'clock after Murali if they're not Murali students. And then funnily enough, like Baba will say in the Murali, don't celebrate birthdays. You know, it's like he knows that this person is coming. And or I remember another time in the Murali, somebody had got a, actually we had got a car in another country I was in, we had got a car. And then again Baba said, your intellect should not go to fancy cars. You know, I mean, so many times it's like I do feel Baba does relate to us through the Murali. Now if we didn't hear the Murali, we miss the point, and there's no lifeline, you know? I mean, if I'm saying I'm Baba's, then I at least have to hear him once a day. Like, I have to hear what he has to say for me once a day. It's like really connecting with that parent. And sure, you might say I'm connecting through the yoga, the meditation. But again, our intellects are not that clear to catch everything. So Murli is there. It's very clear what Baba has to say to you for that day. So even if you can't hear the full Murli, at least get the points, phone the center, phone somebody who's heard the Murli and get the actual points. And really, it will be the right thing that you need to hear for that moment. So anyway, back to this vision I was talking about the vision, that if I'm to create a new vision, I have to see with what vision Baba is seeing me. Is Baba seeing me with the old? I mean, again, I remember this time, you know, when Baba used to meet us. And of course we want those things at that time. I mean, maybe I've implemented a 20-30% of what Baba said to me personally. But Baba saw us there, you know, and we're still here. And just imagine how Baba seeing you with such high vision. Can we do that for another person? Why not? Why we can't do that for another person? Yes, because we're comparing. Because body consciousness, because we are gods with a small g. Yeah, because we get in the way. In other words, our ego gets in the way. Our vices, in fact, get in the way. In other words, why should I see this one with a high vision, you know? Because if I see that one with a high vision, then where am I? So this takes a lot of self-respect. I need to put myself here first, which is a high sense of self-worth. And again, this is wrong. I shouldn't see them like this, because that's sometimes what we do, don't we? I'm up here and I see them down like that and have pity on them and have false mercy. But I need to ascend and I need to see them with that equal vision, that just as I have a elevated self, that soul also has a pure elevated self, and I need to see them and connect with them on that level. Okay, if not all the time, let's at least begin this practice. And again, Dadi Janki, if you look at her, she's accustomed to doing that. You know, she knows my weaknesses, but she doesn't always go on about them and say, dee, 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 dee. You know, she just keeps pointing out the good. And one day I'll become good. But we, you see, as we said earlier, because of the criticism, the complaining, the comparing, there's other few C's as well, you know, we get caught up in this. And it's hard for us to see the other with that pure elevated vision. Because we're not pure. You see, our vision is clouded. And so therefore, we can't see them clearly for who they are and what they are. So yeah, new vision. And again, how do you do that? You just literally have to make the effort. You have to find something in that soul that you think is worthy, is wonderful. And even if you can't, even generalize that this child is God's child. This child has some speciality that they've come to Baba for. You know, so if you don't know them personally, just really use something. Because think about it, if I don't bring this newness for the sake of others, then I'm the guilty party. In other words, I'm in the wrong. Because I'm stuck to the old ways. So I'm not benefiting actually. It's not about the other person. I am learning how to elevate my vision. This person in front of me is teaching me how to elevate my vision. Because this person may not know what kind of vision you're having for them. But for me, it's an opportunity to have this elevated vision for this person. Do you see? So see it like that. That seeing this person, in other words, I'm not losing myself. I'm not losing my self-respect or self-worth. I am benefiting by constantly elevating plus maintaining that pure vision for that soul. The other thing, of course, attitude. And again, really, I think Brahmins have the worst attitude. Because again, we do. We think, no, it's true, because we think we are the chosen few. We are the elite race, you know. We have found God, you know, and we can really get stuck in that. There's a very fine line between the intoxication of having found God, which is great, and the ego that, haha, we have found God. Yeah. So this is what I mean about attitude. See, however I perceive that, it will color my attitude, and it's attitudes that actually then create the feelings. So if my attitude towards you is, if I think my attitude towards you is that you're bossy, so I'm not going to talk to you, I'll raise my defensiveness, I'll get defensive, and so you can see the dynamic in the relationship. My attitude has created this defensiveness, you see? And again, this person's not doing anything. They're just playing their part. But it's a story that I've created in my head that this person's doing this and therefore I should respond like this. And therefore, you know, if they're doing that, then they're not deserving of my love and my respect. And again, I cross them out. I draw a red line through them. And this is not right. As Baba's children, again, our attitude, and again, I've often like tried to observe Dadi Janki. And does she have an attitude? No. She doesn't really have an attitude. You know, it's like when kids have an attitude like, I'm here and I'm here to stay, you know, like, or I'm cool, or, you know. That's what I mean about attitude. It's a subtle, you can say, arrogance that develops in the personality. And that doesn't make you warm or approachable to the other party. But again, it's damaging for the self because it doesn't allow me to get to my pure self. My attitude is like, you can say, like a false mask. I'm putting up this attitude because I'm also, in a way, afraid to see myself. Like these kids who do have this I'm cool attitude. I mean, half of them are shivering in their knees, you know, afraid to get bullied or beaten up, but they have to put up the attitude. So this is what we do. We use these false attitudes to make us believe that we are something when we're not. And so it doesn't develop the real self-respect from the core. Do you see? So change in attitude, so shift in attitude. And for that, yeah, again, a lot of soul checking, a lot of honesty, and just sitting with Baba. And if I'm not able to do it myself, then to take power from Baba. Just hand it to Baba and say, Baba, yeah, okay, I know I've got this, I want you to help me change it. And he does, he will help, Baba does help. Where there is honesty, I believe really Baba helps. I think it gets melted, so you can say transformed. It's like we realize we don't need that anymore, so we put it down. It may still be there, but we don't need to use it anymore. You know, the tool is there or the whatever, but the thing is there, but we don't need to use that anymore. We have something better in its place. Yeah. And then I want to talk about beliefs, because this is very important, and this is a big one actually. How our old belief patterns, they do not allow us to see things in a new light. And I'm not talking about religious beliefs at all. What is your religion and your belief of God? Okay, that's one thing. But when I say belief, I'm talking about the way we've always done something. You know? These old patterns of, like you can say, sanskars or habits, have created a certain belief system in us. For example, yeah, I can do it, I guess, but I won't, you know? Or, no, I can't possibly get on the stage and speak. Or, no, I can't possibly take Drishti from Dadi. I mean, she doesn't like me. I know she doesn't like me, you know? I mean, it's a belief I've created, isn't it? And Dadi has not even had a single waste thought about you, but you believe something very strongly because of a series of thoughts that you've created in yourself. In fact, self-damaging thoughts that you've created. And I think the biggest thing, why Baba tells us to remember him and to think of him, because to think of anything else or anyone else has really damaged our self-esteem. Really, this is my experience. As soon as I start looking at somebody else or comparing myself with somebody else or thinking of somebody else or even thinking of a situation just gone and having more waste thoughts about it, means it's going to affect somewhere my self-esteem. And this is where you have to be, you know, have a handle on your thoughts. Because if you're not careful and you do this repetitively, you create this deep belief system. And this is what then becomes the block to your progress or to seeing something new that Baba's telling you. Because even if Baba's telling you, no, you can do it, that thick wall just will not allow you to see it. It won't allow you to have that determination to move forward. That's really how damaging it can be. So these beliefs about who I am, what I can do, like even a belief that I'm a female. That's why Baba says, remove the body consciousness. I'm not a female anymore, I'm a Shakti. It's a belief that I'm a female and therefore females can only do this and can't do that and can only go there and, you know, have only so much strength. And it's wrong. It's wrong. So, yeah, what other beliefs have I created? Or, you know, another belief recently I discovered is when I say, oh, I know that Maya. Do I really know that Maya? Or has that Maya come in a different form? And she's deceiving me again. That's a belief. Again, we think, yes, I know if I do that and go there, or if I think like that, if I have this desire, I know that Maya. No, but Maya is always trying to find different ways. So for me to think that I do know, I recognize Maya, I'm probably still being deceived as I have that thought. So you see how subtle it is, I feel like the belief especially is a very thin film. You know, it's like when you put a thin film on your glasses or your phone or whatever. It keeps the thing a bit blurry. Doesn't allow you to see clearly. It allows you to see clearly enough, which is why you think it's not there. But there could be more clarity if you just shed that belief. So again, do this homework. You know, ask yourself, in what old beliefs am I stuck that is not allowing me to move forward, that's not allowing me to see something new? And again, if you read or listen to the Murali carefully, Baba is actually helping us to change those beliefs on a deep-rooted level. And main one, of course, is this body consciousness and soul consciousness. The more I think I'm a body, the more I restrict myself in my progress and my effort. The more, you know, I limit myself because the body can only go so far, can only do so much, only has certain capacity. And it's not right because as a soul, I'm free, I'm mighty, I can travel with my thoughts and my mind. So really, let's review, you know, this belief system. And then newness in your Brahmin life. I mean, newness in life in general. I think I've survived in Brahmin life because I do like to be creative and I like to do things in different ways. I remember when I used to come to Madhuban in my early days as a teenager. I mean, I'd make a plan for each Madhuban. So some Madhuban, I'd say, okay, I'm just going to party and have fun and have bhelpuri and you know, like mix with this, you know, Raju Bhai, and you know, they used to have here Vallabh Dada and this, you know, and I'd say, okay, I'm just going to enjoy myself. I'm just going to have laughter this Madhuban. Then another Madhuban, I would say, no, I have to get serious. I have to make the effort. And I remember a couple of times in Madhuban, I did have a chant of 8 hours a day. And the way I did that, because at that time we were just in Pandav Bhavan. And the way I did that is every time I went past Baba's room, I had to sit in there for 10-15 minutes. So of course you try and find other rooms if you don't have time. But that was really good. Because one, I consciously sat morning and evening, but then every time I passed Baba's room, I would really try and, you know, slot in 10, 15 minutes of yoga to build the stage. So that's one thing you can do is, you know, set for yourself a theme for every month or every 2 weeks and say, okay, this is the mood I'm going to practice. So it could be to be take everything lightly, for example. You say to yourself, okay, whatever comes. And in fact, it's good if you do this together collectively. Like if you're living with other Brahmins or as friends, you can say, okay, let's all practice to take things lightly so you can help each other. So if something goes wrong, then you say, no, come on, be light about it, and you're light about it. Or when I use the word serious, I don't mean you literally get serious, but you're intense in yoga, let's say, or silent, or, you know, focused, yeah. So themes, you know, select themes for your Brahmin life, because that does really help me. In fact, lately I have been focusing on this thing of just the thought. Since I was in Madhuban about 3 weeks ago, and really I had a very strong realization that I cannot afford to have an extra waste thought. No, it's true. I mean, I'm not just saying Madhuban, but anywhere, but I had this realization here. I cannot allow anything here to allow me to have an extra waste thought. So let me think only that which is useful. And of course, Baba's been saying that in last season's Muralis, right? No waste thought and don't waste time. But you have to experience, you know, it for yourself to know that, yeah, this is what I want to do. So again, if anything comes up, you say no, not having an extra thought. And in fact, even in the center, sometimes I put up the sign, full stop. Like sometimes I just do on a post-it, I'll just in a thick marker, I'll just put things and, you know, say, especially around my room, but sometimes in the kitchen, like just as a reminder for everyone that, no, don't go there, full stop. Like then, or the other one is drama is accurate. That's the other one hanging around the center at the moment. Right, just to see everything as being accurate. Yeah, everybody has a storyline. That's another one. Everybody has a story, so don't judge. Yeah. But yeah, this is how to bring newness. You have to find new ways of, living your Brahmin life. And again, yes, it does help to have a change. As Brahmins, okay, go visit another center, another city, another country, attend a retreat or get yourself involved in another piece of service. I mean, that's all fine. But again, that's not the solution. It's a nice change, but you're not getting to the root, which is really that it's here. I have to change the way I think. I have to change the way I see things. You know? And this is my experience, because I have traveled a lot, and you, wherever you go, you take your bag and baggage. Not literally, but, you know, this. Sometimes it's not about just shifting. It's, as I said, it's a nice change, and it will help you to shift the perspective, but it's not the solution for real change. And so really, you know, lately also, the last few weeks, Baba has been focusing on this, right? That if you make the effort, you get the reward. He's been saying that a lot. If you make the effort, you get a high status. If you make the reward, you claim your inheritance. If you make the effort, you get the reward. Anyway, he's been underlined. So again, it comes back to that. That if I want to, you know, really claim that whatever, forget even golden age, but attain my highest perfection, then I need to make that effort. How will it just happen? What will happen if I don't make the effort is the old will keep kicking in again and again. Because the old is what I'm comfortable with. And the new needs a bit of effort. It's like, if this is here and I'm to lift it, I have to give it some energy. Because the law of this earth is it's gravity, got gravity, and it will fall. If I let the energy go, it will fall. So it's the same with us and our stage and our relationships with Baba. If I don't put in the effort, it will fall back to what it was. So this was here, it will go back to that. If this was there, it will go back to that. So that's my point, that if I am to experience newness, I have to put in that energy every day. And it's like a spark. It's like, how can I put it? It's like the fuel, you can say. Putting in the coal, you know, every day to make sure that fire is burning, that passion is alive, that interest is there, that determination is there, the motivation is there. And when I stop making that effort, then, in fact, even the other day I said to Daddy, Daddy, I'm making a lot of effort, you know. And she goes, no, don't make effort. She goes, I said, okay, what effort shall I make then? And she said, just be, and then she went like this. And she said, just be bodiless. So that's what I've been trying the last couple of mornings. So, yeah, sometimes, yeah, sure, okay, we might say, I'm doing this, I'm trying not to have waste thoughts, I'm trying to have more yoga. But, yeah, then we go back to the simplicity of effort, which is just be bodiless. Just go back to the soul, just be. And actually, another thing I asked her, which would be of benefit to you, because I don't know, somewhere she mentioned, like, don't have thoughts of what others are doing, blah, blah, blah. And I said, Daddy, I said, defamation must be the biggest thing to overcome. I said, what if somebody says to you that, Janki, you're like this, or Janki, you're doing this. I said, how do you feel? She goes, no. She was so sweet, really. And she was honest and genuine. She said, no, it's not their fault. You know? I mean, she said it with so much love that it was uska dosh nahi hai, you know? They don't know what they're saying, and if they're speaking like that, it's not their fault. It's like the vices have captured them. But that takes a big heart and a gracious heart to see the situation like that. I think most of the time we take pain because we really personalize it, and it's back to the ego, isn't it? Crushing of the ego. But when we personalize, and I think, well, that one's pointing it at me or doing it to me, and that's when we get hurt. So yeah, this thing of, you know, if somebody said something, they don't have the obviously the controlling power or managing power, and that's why they did it. So it's not their fault, so don't take it. And again, if you look at Dadi Janki's history, I mean, she has worked a lot on herself, her self-worth, and that's why she is where she is today, because of her own effort. In fact, often we compare this, right? Dadi Kumarka, Dadi Gulzar. Dadi Kumarka, she was literally like given it, the position. She was bestowed, like, here, you be the king, the leader. So she was given it. And Dadi Janki had to earn it through her own effort. And Dadi Gulzar, it was her role, the service. She had a skill. So she was asked. And that haji, her part of saying yes, because of her talent, her skill of being Baba's instrument, that's what gave her that role as well. So anyway, yeah, back to the Brahmin life and the newness. You really have to. The other thing I remember I used to do in morning class, because in London, we used to be in Dutton Hill, do you remember? And we used to sit on the floor like this. There were some chairs, but then I used to spread myself out, and I had like five little notebooks, you know, this size. And really, I used to enjoy, like I enjoyed being a student, and in one notebook I'd put things like everything to do with dharana, for example. You know, everything, like Baba said today, be royal, be sweet, don't speak loudly, you know. And I used to enjoy hearing things about the golden age. So at that time, I mean, I don't have it, but I really feel often if I had that book, everything Baba said about how the golden age will be, you know, how children are born and what we do all day and how we learn and what we eat, how we hold court. I mean, all of that was there. Then I remember I had a book on Mamma and anything Baba said about Mamma. And I think the other book was Service, And I can't remember the other one, but just again to make it creative and then just to be able to contain the points, you know, just separately so you don't have to look through them at that time. So yeah, really you have to get creative. I know this one sister who paints the Murali points, like you draw the Murali points instead of writing them. So because some people are visual and so they register more when they see. So if there's royalty, maybe you draw a crown and put, Baba says, be royal or sweet, and you have a sugar block or something, I don't know. You know? So, and then it's true, you do remember the point and it is handy there when you need to use it in the day. That's the whole point, isn't it? We hear the Murali so we can use it in the day, right? Isn't it? Or we just hear the Murali to have the tick mark. Yeah, we hear the Murali so we can use it for the rest of the day. And then the other thing again that I've done wherever I've lived actually is, yeah, just creative programs for Brahmins. I mean, as we said, the change is as good as new. So, you know, I mean, sometimes we have a dance evening, but dance, yani, of course, Murali songs, okay, maybe a few Bollywood songs, but some light snack. And I mean, it's a royal. It's not pop or, you know, disco dance, but it's just to get the Brahmin energy going and just for the family to feel connected. We've done sports days. Actually, we've had two teams and we've done exercises and competition. So I was going to ask you to do something. As I said earlier, like change the way you do something regularly. So, for example, you drive to the center. Take a different route. Yeah, really. Maybe it's longer, or maybe it's shorter, maybe it's scenic or non-scenic. But just do something different. Or the way you put on your clothes in the morning, you know. The way you brush your teeth. You know, there's a way to brush your teeth. Some people brush like that. You know, excuse me, to brush like this. I mean, anything, but just begin to do things. You know why? Because the whole point of this is to come out of our mindset of being rigid and fixed. And thinking, yeah, we have things in place and I'm in control of the things in my life. So I'd like you now for a few minutes, okay, to just turn to somebody. I hope you all have pen and paper. Yeah? So just find somebody if you don't have somebody. You don't need to talk to them, so don't worry if you don't know the language. No talking. You have all have pen and paper, right? All have pen and paper? There's a brother there if you want to pair up with him. And be open to this exercise, okay? And I'd like you, with your other hand, so if you're right-handed, you use your left hand. If you're left-handed, you use your right hand. With your other hand, I'd like you to just draw your person, the other person in front of you. Yeah, just do an outline. Just do an outline. Each one has to draw the other. You're using your pen pair. Yeah, translators can also do it. Yeah. Everybody has a pair, right? Just take a paper from somebody. Yeah, don't worry, don't judge it. Just try and do your best. You're doing it? And don't try and make it perfect. But just make an attempt. And of course you want to show the other person in their best light. Don't show it yet to the other person. I don't see you looking at the other person. You're just drawing something. No, this sister. This sister here. Beautiful face, yes. Just give you a few more seconds. Okay? Finished? So you can show the other person when you're finished and see if they compare to the real thing. Yes or no? Was it or not? Close? Okay, did you finish? Yeah? Sorry? What? Not good. Good. Okay, good. So are you happy with what you draw? Is the other person happy with what you draw? Yes? Now that was very simple, wasn't it? Wasn't it? In theory, yeah. Yeah, so this is the point. Yeah, nice. I can see it from here. Nice. Okay, so this is the point. See, it doesn't take much for us to shift, you know, to shift gear and to think in a different way. And this is a note I'd like to end on, is what, again, Baba is really teaching us through Raja Yoga meditation, right, which is the degree that we're trying to claim here, is to change our thinking. To change the quality of our thoughts and thereby change everything thereafter. So I have to make sure that I'm not thinking in the old ways that I was. In fact, we just had a dharana discussion on Saturday in Kuwait, and this person was saying, should I not be ambitious at work anymore? You know, they take me to be passive. And I said, yeah, because you have come out of that rat race now, and you should now be passionate about your Brahmin life and excelling in your Brahmin life. You're going to work just for the sake of work, earn some money. Yes, you do your best, you give your best, and you play your role. So if you're a manager, you have to correct or manage, you know, in the best possible way. But you don't get focused on that. You don't zoom in on that. That's not your all and everything. Your passion is, how can I become perfect, actually? So this is the thing. I think as Brahmins, yeah, we play our roles and do what we need to. But our real newness will only come when we make that daily effort, you know, change our thoughts, have a new relationship or new experience of a relationship with Baba. And that's the only way we're going to feel good about ourselves. It really is. And again, why, again, I keep coming back to meditation hall, but, you know, for me, of course, my Brahmin life is a comfort for me now, because that's what I've known, right? I've grown up with it, it's in my blood. And so really, these places, they make you feel at home. Not physically, but here. So when I am abroad or anywhere else, I think of the things that make me feel at home. One of them is, of course, the soul world and being with Baba. Because again, the way I was taught as a kid, you know, like you travel there and you do this and you do that. So they made it technical, you know, in those days for us rather than just practical. So for me, yes, going and sitting in Baba's heart is a comfort. Coming to Madhuban, Baba's room, History Hall, Tower of Peace. I mean, these are places of comfort. You know, I mean, experiences being with Dadi, of course, is a comfort. I mean, what I'm saying is, this is what has to become your passion now. Not the worldly, not the lokic. And the other thing we say about Madhuban is, you know, we come to Madhuban every year. We come to Madhuban, I come sometimes 3 times a year. But do we get bored with Madhuban? No. Whereas you go to another resort like Spain or wherever, you know, Greece or Turkey, you go to the same place and you will get bored. Because we've realized that the newness is not in the place. The newness is that when we come here, we become new. We recharge, we reinvent, you know. We reconnect with all our other Brahmin family members. And there is that nice feeling. There's a feeling of newness every time we come to Madhuban. So this is really what the soul is looking for. When we talk of newness, it's really that I need to make the effort to change and to become a better person. And when I stop making that effort, then I start to wilt. I start to become dull, actually. And then, of course, gradually die spiritually. So, yeah, I'll stop there. Any questions? Well, let me see if they have any questions. And yes, sister. Good question. Yeah. The question is, if I just stick to the routine, then I don't have to think more. Yeah, yeah. Yes, so you all heard that, right? Perry is saying, put newness into the routine. Again, you see, let me come back to this point. If you're fine with what is happening and you have a great stage and you're flying with Baba and everything's going great, you won't need that change. I'm not saying you should impose the change on yourself. Okay? But what I am saying is that if you start feeling like that is not working for you anymore, then do it a different way. Or yes, implement something new into that thing. And as I said, we are, you know, creatures of comfort. And so we do naturally get used to the same thing. But that's what I'm saying. If I look closely and ask myself, am I doing it consciously or passively? And if I answer honestly and I say, yeah, I'm doing it passively, then maybe I need to inject some newness. But if I'm there every day, 4 o'clock, and wow, it's fantastic, and I'm awake and alert, and I'm happy, then there's no need. Right? Yeah. Exactly, yeah, yeah. So there's not the need, I guess. That's what we would say. There's not the need. And yeah, because you're changing and transforming, that in itself is the newness. When we do something different, it brings enthusiasm. Yeah. Might inspire others as well.
Mm-hmm. You always look for something new.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think it is very natural. Yeah, it's a very natural tendency. But that's why I'm saying, though, that see, again, in the Lokic world, I mean, people who have money, I mean, they go shopping every day, you know, and they buy something new every day. Every other week they're at the hairdresser or they're doing their nails or they've got, you know, hundreds of shoes. I mean, but that does not bring contentment. So we know really deep down that that's not the newness we seek. It's not the literal newness. It's a new me. I'm really looking for that new me. The one I can be happy with. The one I can live with. Aren't I? So if I'm not making that level of effort where I'm feeling comfortable with that new me, then yeah, I have to put some more energy. She's saying sometimes I'm so creative that I have to say stop, give Baba a chance to do something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, really, back to basics. Yeah. I mean, yeah, just to comment on that, I shouldn't, that's another thing, a pattern that I can get into is I can't live without the newness. Yeah? And I guess I didn't cover that enough, that there's something to be said about the consistency, which is what I was mentioning about the brothers in Madhuban, you know? I mean, you're doing the same thing, but you've brought some newness in yourself, and therefore it doesn't necessarily have to reflect in the action. Because in here, in your heart and your mind, there is a feeling of freshness and newness. Yeah. So I shouldn't be dependent that, oh, only if it's 1st of January or Diwali or, you know, something happening, then I feel excited and enthusiastic. Yeah. Good point. Aapko kuch kehna hai? So, yeah, Geeta Ben is saying to share my own experience of where I was stuck. And, well, I can remember Bahrain very clearly. Because when I went to Bahrain, I went from places that were very beautiful to Bahrain, which was not so beautiful. And also it was more quiet, service hadn't got going then. And not much to do, didn't know many people, maybe 5 people. So couldn't really go anywhere. I remember like 6-7 months where I was again just readjusting. Because you heard, right, in the intro, I went from Vancouver to Turkey to Bahrain. So, okay, I'd gotten accustomed to living on my own. But I remember, you know, like after morning class, the students would go. And, yeah, I did have to be creative. Because, again, I shared this experience with the Hindi class. But in our countries, you can't just get up and go and start making contacts and say, I'm BK representative, here I am. You know, I mean, you have to really do a lot of yoga and try and invoke contacts, invoke service. Do you see what I mean? So, and in these countries, Muslim countries, you just have to be very careful of how you go out and do service. So again, I'm waiting for a few, we had a few local Turkish sisters, but they're only available evening and weekends. So most of the day you're on your own. So, yeah, so then, you know, and I remember talking to Dadi at that time. And then Dadi said to me, kuch likho ne? You know? So Dadi said to me, why don't you write something, like for a magazine or something? And I didn't take it seriously. I said, Dadi doesn't understand. Of course she understands very well. But anyway, it was much late. Then what I started to do is I started to arrange seminars every Saturday. So Saturday 5 p.m., that was the most convenient time for them. So after that, they can go for dinner or whatever. So 5 to 7, we had seminar. And so I made that my practice, that I needed to create the topic, then focus, so I'd be reading up on it. And that got me excited, actually, that I'd be reading or whatever on the internet, trying to find stuff for my seminar and trying to give something of substance. Yeah. I mean, consciously preparing the seminar. That was one thing. And then I also actually took myself for a walk sometimes 3 times a day. Because the Baba Center was literally like 5 minutes near the sea wall. And then I would take myself for a walk. And as I was walking, then again, I would try and practice the different things, that like different stages, hear Baba's music. Sometimes really even listening to commentaries that, not mine, I mean, just having those words in your mind. Have somebody, even though you're older as a Brahmin, but still, just having somebody else speak those thoughts to you. That was nice. I guess luckily I've always felt close to Baba, where I do feel a lot of Baba's help. It's like many, many, many times I just have to say, Baba, help. And something, he does something, or he brings someone, or changes even my mind or mood, or, you know, I feel very blessed like that. And actually, that was a personal blessing from Baba to me. He said, the moment you say Baba, Baba will come and help. He did say that, yeah. So, yeah, so I never really got stuck as in, like, depressed as such, but I remember that to try and keep my mind light and, you know, with Baba, and to keep, not to let the motivation go, I guess. And then, as I said to you, no, just creativity. Then trying to think up of different things to do with the family. Or if we're organizing, say it's Monday and I know we're organizing a party on Saturday, to try and come up with some games, trying to create the games, you know, trying to create pass the parcel. And trying to be... Like, I think it's very important to stay busy in doing good actions, good deeds that are going to serve others. Actually, the other thing that I tell the family in Kuwait, because again, we don't have much service in Kuwait, outreach service. There's many students that come to the center, but... So with the Hindi class, I tell them to make blessings. And I tell them, make creative blessings, you know, as creative as you can. And I looked up in origami once and I did a demonstration and I gave them a demo and I said, okay, make more like this. And so I think that's another good thing for Brahmins who come to the center and who have time. Like, you can give them things like that to do. Create. Even if they can't actually produce the blessing, even to make up the blessing. Because we're always looking for new blessings in the Brahmin family. So then that means they have to read through the Murli and come up with, you know, whether for BK or Lokiks. Again, that's another two categories. Okay. Shall we stop? Anything else? Everybody's good? Everybody's new now? You're going to leave your old self behind before you exit this door? Really, I think today's a good day to start something new because it is New Year. We're in India and it's the New Year today here. So use this as an impetus for creating newness. Yeah. Want to say anything? When you saw your picture that he drew, you became bodiless. You mean detached, right? Okay, shall we stop? Okay, Om Shanti.